Back from lunch.
You like that?
Well, I'm really good
in
but I could.
Good. Wake them up.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back to lunch. And we are back from executive session. So, somebody want to make a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion. And, you know, I've been torn for the reasons that I talked about a little earlier between moving to just approve it as is or moving to approve with some amendments that we've discussed earlier. And on balance, I think the best thing to do is to move to approve with a couple of amendments. And those would be to add back a few of the things that were in the draft EIS but are not in the final. And I'm not 100% set on this, and I'm so happy to have discussion by the board. I'm satisfied from our executive session that we can do this legally, that it's a sound thing to do legally. And it doesn't mean to add back some of these things doesn't mean that the board is saying we have to do them, that they have to be in the master plan eventually. It just preserves this as options and possibilities in the master planning process. So the specific amendments to add back, going to page six, number two, under B, would be that they add back eliminated segments of the pedestrian trail within upland area, and then the next bullet point, reduced total building floor area at the Kahale complex. We would retain the former limit and former number of proposed structures as the limit. And then C, Kapa area, we would put back the pedestrian trail along the Kapa Quarry Road from Napohaku to the city's model airplane park and restore the building floor area and number of structures on point number two under C for the cultural center at Kapa.
How about the observation?
Under F.
Sorry, observation or the...
The two observation decks and interpretive pavilions and the pedestrian, we put back the pedestrian trail and two viewing pavilions at Mokulana. And remove the sentence of the Mokulana Peninsula only to be used for DOFA management activities. That's my motion.
I'll second it for the purpose of discussion.
Okay, so again, we're not deciding on these structures, but including them as disclosure items in the FEIS.
If I could comment on that.
Yeah.
I think that it's always better to include more in the discussion of the potential impacts than to try to put something in afterwards, right? So if you, even though the master plan hasn't been finalized, even though these particular projects haven't come before the board or any other process, this allows for a broader range of discussions and broader set of potentials, and does not guarantee that they'll be met, but also sets a higher bar for the potential improvements there.
If I could add one more thing, and it would be subject to AG review, and if AG subsequently, prior to sending this to the governor, felt that this created a legal problem, we would just go with the document or the recommendation as is.
I'm amenable to that for the amendment.
Right.
So the the restroom at Ulupo is not, there's not currently, it's not currently part of the project area. Is that what I heard? Or
right.
It wasn't?
It was not part of the, it's not part of the draft EIS, so we can't
include that.
There was a, the gentleman requested, Mr. Da Silva requested that we put it in, but we cannot put in something that was not part of the draft EIS. Just can't do it.
Yeah. I think that since the state is in the middle of negotiations for acquisitions of lands in that area upon which the those facilities may in the future be built, I don't think it precludes the development of that later.
Okay. Okay, comments? Any other comments? Any comments?
I just want to say that, you know, the Outdoor Circle does outstanding work, but my bias is that when you have a natural resource like endangered species that has to be, you have to keep people away from it, absolutely, then you do it. But otherwise, you want to encourage people to enjoy nature. This is how those of us who, you know, grew up with them, like somebody said, the mud between our toes, this is how we got to be how we are. And so I want to have these opportunities for young people to have outdoor education, environmental education in these areas. And I certainly want to see the Hawaiian community be able to have adequate sites for the cultural centers that they want to put out there.
In addition, I'd point out that community-based co-management promises long-term strengthening of the connections between people of place and the places that nurture and define them, and that people can be the bane of our environment or a place, but they can also be the salvation of a place. And increased public positive influence is far more desirable than benign neglect, as Renee Silva pointed out. Better to do something than be done. So, disconnection of the public from their places is the big problem. So I have confidence that the practitioners that have combined their support here toward the protection of natural resources and forging of biocultural connections to this important place, I have confidence that needs to move forward.
Thank you. Any other comments?
And Chair, in a matter of timing, I hope the weeks is what the scale that we're talking about and not months to make the amendments.
Okay. Any others? All right. With that, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you all very much.
Sorry for the additional work.
Sorry about the bathroom.
That's okay. Yeah. It'll come in time.
It'll come in time.
Make it a good one.
Thank you, all of you.
Thank you.
Very, very much.
Thank you. Okay, that was number 5. Move up.
This D7?
Okay, D7 is next.
Good afternoon. Russell Tsuji again for Land Division. D7 is the, we're coming back for the board for the renewal, the annual renewal of the revocable permit to the Kahala Resort Trust Hawaii.
So can you hang on 1 second here? We have a contested case request in writing on this one, and should we have Russell present it and then we deal with it? Or?
No, I think we should deal with the contested case right up front.
Okay.
And that's great. Thank you for letting me share.
Confirming, are you making a contested case request?
Not yet. Well, not yet.
Okay, but you did in your testimony, so.
It was not oral.
I noticed that, so. Okay.
Okay.
Then if you're not making one now, then please proceed.
Okay, great. Thank you for clarifying. Okay.
So we're coming back for our annual renewal for the revocable permit up at the Kahala Resort. For those of you who are not familiar on this one, last year we went into the long history of the Kahala and how this whole thing started, and just quickly that the state had entered into a beach agreement with the hotel for the dredging of that area and for creation of that man-made beach and submerged lands, filled lands, so reclaimed lands. So what ultimately is before in front of the Kahala is a man-made. It includes the sandy area as well as in the submerged land area under the RP is a portion of a grassy area. And that is under 17153 is considered reclaimed land. Historically, the board has disposed of reclaimed lands when requested by abutting landowners. Oftentimes in Kanoe Bay, the board has a long history of granting either easements today or in the past, before I got here, they were actually allowing the reclaimed lands to be sold simple to the homeowners as previously submerged lands, but now reclaiming solid ground. Anyway, so today the RP is including not the sand, but just a portion of the grassy area, which is the reclaimed lands area. And that includes the groins that is also man-made that sticks out there. As we try to explain in the submittal, what was previously approved last year and what is being requested today is substantially less intensive use of the area. We tried to explain that on a chart and try to make it simple, where it comes down to an area of actual usage. It would be about 1,492 square feet, as compared to what was previously much larger than that. I think it was 3,000 something square feet being taken out from the prior submittal. Throughout the year, there's been various events. There was ultimately Mr. Franco, who is here this afternoon, has opposed this issuance of the permit. Last year, he filed a request for contested case, and it was denied, and then he went on to file a lawsuit, as I recall. Ultimately, the judge ruled on a partial summary judgment of the case. And we try to capture that in a submittal where he pretty much disposed of all of the claims brought up by Mr. Franco, including the 343 claim. That was ruled in favor of the state on summary judgment. With the remaining issues that was not decided is the 205A, which is coastal zone management statute, and the public trust argument that he was making. In our submittal, we went at length in trying to explain the various public trust responsibilities and how we think we met it. In addition to that, even though it's been disposed of by summary judgment, we also went into detail of how we think this disposition is actually exempt from a preparation of environmental assessment. Over the year as well, we've often get calls from the public to complain, specifically from Mr. Ralston, who I believe is also here today. As a result, my staff spent 3 weeks, I believe intensive weeks, out there under surveilling the area and taking note of what's going on in the area, whether there was any improper activity. And I think we try to summarize that in the submittal, and it basically comes down to there was a few instances out of that three-week period, and the one that was the most clearest example of that we could say that was actually not allowed was this commercial activity vendor that was not supposed to be in the area. But we understand that vendor is a contractor, or I guess they have some contract with the hotel, but not necessarily an employee of the hotel. We understand that's since been corrected. I think it was a Hans Hiedemann operation. much else to add unless this board has questions. I'm sure the CALA is here, represented by counsel, as well as Mr. Franco and Mr. Ralston is here.
Great, thanks. Okay, questions, board members? No questions? Okay, does the CALA want to add anything? Yeah.
Just grabbing some poster boards over here.
I'm not sure if this will work.
And you just lay them on the table.
Jennifer Lim, I'm counsel representing Resort Trust Hawaii. Resort Trust Hawaii is the owner and operator of the Kahala Hotel Resort. With me is Gerald Glennon, who is Resort Trust Hawaii's representative. And we also have in the audience Mr. Joey Barra, who is the general manager at the Kahala Hotel. Many of you board members heard from us for hours last year, and we're not going to be trying to put you through that this year. But I did want to do a little bit of a refreshment. So, as Mrs. Tsuji said, the Kahala Hotel is seeking a renewal of this annual revocable permit. Okay, the revocable permit gives the Kahala permission to use and occupy portions of the state property, public access under the revocable permit as approved by this board last year, public access, which has always been permitted. I mean, it was never excluded, but is expressly stated in your permit, public access must be allowed. And we're here seeking a further renewal. We submitted a thick submittal, which I believe is Exhibit A1 to the staff report. So why did we do that if all we're doing is really asking for a renewal of the same things as last year? These photographs from September 2018, if you could hold them up, this is what was happening on the property at that time. You can see that there was a storage area. If you could point to that, Gerald.
Upside down here.
There was a storage area on the Diamond Head side of the property.
Here.
That was partially on hotel property, but also partially on your property. And we asked permission, and we were grateful to be granted permission, to store recreational furniture over there. So that was something that we did get permission for, as you can see from the photograph for this year. And this is also, I believe, in the staff submittal Exhibit A1, it's our Exhibit 13, in any event. That area's been cleaned. I've cleared out entirely. The hotel is no longer storing material there. So we ask that if the permit gets renewed, that the permit we no longer need permission, and we would prefer to have the permit reflect that fact, that we don't need this area for storage. Some other things that were approved last year included, and I'm pointing here on another picture from September of 2018, these cabana tents. That's what these square boxes are. Okay, now the cabana tents were conditionally approved by the board, and what that meant, cabana tents were, it's two lounge chairs, but they're kind of higher end lounge chairs, you know, a little bit heavier than the typical lightweight thing that you would just sling on your back to carry to the beach, with some posts and a top on it, okay? And last year this board said, yes, hotel, you may have, I believe it was up to 10 cabana tents, so that would have seating for up to 20 people, because there's two chairs in each tent. But if you need approval from the Department of Planning and Permitting, you have to go get that approval first before you can put those tents onto the property. As you can see from the photograph from August of 2019, maybe I should bring it closer, there are no cabana tents on the property anymore, and our submittal that we made a month or so ago reflects that fact. We no longer are requesting permission to have cabana tents. There's also something called clamshell loungers, which again were kind of higher end chairs, and they had hoods on them. You can see some of them here, and they're in the photographs. that we submitted, but again, it was two chairs with kind of a hood, and again, these were heavier. They were portable, but they weren't something that, again, you'd stick on your back and carry down to the beach. At this point, the hotel has removed all those clamshell loungers. There's no clamshell loungers on the property, and in our recent submittal, we said we're not using clamshell loungers anymore. We don't need to have permission for that. We also got permission from this board last year to store beach chairs. Can you see it on this picture? We had permission to store beach chairs at the Kofuahead end of the property. And this photograph from September 2018 doesn't really show that, but we were approved to have, I forget what the square footage was, but several beach chairs that could be stored there overnight. We also had permission to have an outrigger canoe stored outside on the state property. Coming back to the photograph from this year, you can see that's all been cleared and it's reflected in our submittal. We no longer are requesting permission to have any of that on the property. So the uses that do remain, I maybe missed one or two other things that we removed, but I'll get to that. Again, the storage area has been removed. We maintain the request to have what it is ultimately is 70 lightweight beach chairs, and I am talking about the lightweight kind of beach chairs that are preset, meaning they can be out there 24/7 on the grassy parcel, not on the beach. There's no presetting. I mean, that's very clear to the hotel that there's no presetting allowed on the beach. So that's the same number of seating options that were permitted last year, but the reason why the square footage has reduced a good deal is because the cabana tents and the clamshell loungers were just bulkier and took up more space. Now we're talking about lounge chairs that are what, 6 feet by 2 feet?
I have the dimensions here if you want me to take a quick look.
Yeah, maybe if they have questions, sure. We can get to it. But they're just typical lightweight beach chairs. And so that's really the main thing that we're requesting that we be permitted to continue doing at the hotel, is to have those beach chairs. You can see that there's some storage over here. Well, over in this area, this is actually your property line. The state's property line is this red line. So the items that are shown on the state property right now are consistent with our current request. There's also a freshwater shower. The freshwater shower happens to be on the state property. We would want to continue to maintain that should the RP get renewed. There's a building called the Cabana Hale, which was fully permitted. There's a building permit, but it's half on state property and half on hotel property. Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but that's the way that it got built. So we're asking for permission to keep that approximately 36 square foot portion of the Cabana Hale on state property. It's an open air structure, it's roofed, it's got four posts, it's used, I mean, people can stretch, they can get out of the sun. I mean, there's nothing really happening in that building, but that's the other thing that we've got on this list. There's an item called a towel caddy, which is pretty self-explanatory, but it holds towels. It's got a water cooler with cups, and it's got a trash bin in it. We had removed the other trash bins that were on the property. And that's really about it in terms of what we're requesting. I want to point out something else to the board, which is not really in the staff submittal, although the staff submittal was very comprehensive, and it mentioned observing that there appeared to be people in red shirts, possibly Hans Hiedemann employees, contractors, who were giving lessons. So lessons, if you have a commercial use permit, you know, surf lessons or canoe lessons or whatever, you know, stand-up paddleboard is permitted in this area under the Hawaii administrative rules. But there is a couple of important details. This pink dashed line is the area that's allowed for that kind of access, okay? So if Hans Hiedemann was entering over here, and I'm pointing more to the center part of the property, that wouldn't be allowed. It looks like sometimes that was happening. You know, they do it by a cone. It's something like a traffic cone that gets put out every day. And, you know, all I can say is there's probably human error and the item has moved. We've got this line added, and this again comes out of the Hawaii administrative rules, onto this diagram. So now it is very clear to the hotel, and both Mr. Glennon and Mr. Ibarra can confirm that they've spoken to the Hans Hiedemann folks, The cone's been relocated. The instructions have been issued. It is extremely clear that this is the area that instruction can go in and out of. This area here is not supposed to be where people are getting, you know, SUP instructions. Okay. Any other key details? The only other thing I wanted to mention about Mr. Tsuji's description, and maybe I didn't hear him correctly, is there were four claims raised in court by David Frankel, and one of them was a public trust claim, as Russell correctly noted. That claim has also been denied. The only claim that's still live is a question about Chapter 205A, and I think I heard Russell say that there was both a public trust claim and a 205A claim alive. Again, the public trust claim has been denied. I think in terms of the 205A claim, clearly we don't think that that is a legitimate issue, but I do know that a couple of, in the staff submittal items G, which is a letter from the Department of Planning and Permitting, and then also an email from the State Office of Planning, makes it very clear that they don't perceive that there's any issue with Chapter 205A compliance with the hotel the way that it's operating right now. So with that.
Just to add that, you know, we have listened to the community for, I've been at the hotel for a little bit over 3 years, and I think you can see in the beginning, certainly the time that I arrived at the property, there was significantly more use of the sand as well as the grassy parcel. And over time, through attendance at neighborhood board meetings, in hearing you know, comments and feedback from Mr. Ralston, Mr. Frankel, others in the community, we have stepped up and significantly reduced our presence on the beach, certainly. We'll set a chair there if a guest asks and must occupy it, and then we remove it after. And the Diamond Head side of our property, we're completely off of anything that has to do with not being on our leasehold. So we have some lightweight lounge chairs we want to keep. We're doing that on the Cocoa Head lawn. And we've really tried to move to make the beach more welcoming, open, and enjoyable for everyone. In addition, we maintain it. We cut the grass. We rake the beach every day. We maintain the irrigation, the landscaping, the tree trimming, and all of that, as well as providing you know, for liability purposes under our own general liability and insurance issues, which indemnify against the state when it comes to what could happen out there. And we're trying to be as best neighbors as we can. Occasion, you know, we might have had a chair preset somewhere. It's not our standard practice. We don't do that. And when we see it, as soon as we can correct it, we will try to do that. Sometimes it's not easy when you're running a luxury hotel that's been in the market for 56 years, and you have what we refer to as our legacy guests who return to us 10, 20, 30, sometimes 40 years, and they would rather tell us what's going to happen rather than have us advise them on what we're able to do. So we try to meet it in the middle, but we don't live outside of what the RP has allowed us to, with limited exceptions, and our intention is to be in compliance whenever it's possible. So
as a very concrete example, all staff have been given instruction that there's to be no food and drink service on the state parcel. And in the past, and this predates Resort Trust Hawaii's ownership, there would be food and drink service brought out. And I don't know if it was all the time or regularly or maybe just for legacy guests, but that has been stopped entirely.
Mm-hmm. We do have a restaurant that serves on our side, and half of the seating that used to be on parcel was removed some time ago. But if a guest or a non-hotel guest comes up to the Seaside Grill, orders a burger, and takes it to their chair on the beach, that's certainly, but we're not having staff actually take orders or serve alcohol, non-alcoholic beverages, or food beyond our boundary line.
And these measures, contrary to what I saw in Mr. Frankel's testimony, the measures that Resort Trust took to start taking what I'll call corrective action on the state property quite predate the litigation or even any overt involvement that we saw from Mr. Frankel. There was as many of you may know, some of you may have attended weddings on this property. Weddings had gone on in, you know, at least one, often two locations on the state parcel, Resort Trust Hawaii, for years. And whether that was permitted or not permitted is actually a little bit of an open question, but in any event, in September 2017, Resort Trust Hawaii took down one of the items that weddings used to take place on. And then in February 2018, they removed the wedding gazebo. If you see a gazebo in a photograph, There is a gazebo. It's a portable gazebo. The hotel had that manufactured so that people who come to the hotel and want to get married can, in fact, get married and still have that gazebo look, because the gazebo had been there for decades. But it is clearly on the private property side of the line, not on the state's side of the line. So the efforts to be more compliant, to listen, and to even reduce the footprint down to the 1,200 some odd feet do predate the, let's say, the tension that we had with the community. And it's an ongoing effort, but I believe, and I hope the board agrees, that the way that the property is being used right now is both beneficial and, if anything, actually encourages public use of the property, because it's well maintained on a daily basis at no cost to the state. And in fact, the state gets paid about $1,300 every month in rent. So with that, we're here for questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, questions? Any questions?
Well, if nobody else has, I just a couple. I saw a testimony that said that, I think the date was in January 2019, that there was a violation when the hotel was serving guests during the holiday season in what had been denied on the last board meeting, like overflow restaurant guests. Are you aware of that letter?
I believe you're talking about Mr. Frankel's testimony.
Yes.
But if I'm remembering correctly, and I'm just going to turn to it right now, I don't believe he was referring to the restaurant seating. The overflow restaurant seating was terminated last fall.
We had a visit, I believe, from Liquor Commission at one point. It came to my attention that, first of all, that is not possible. You cannot do that. And the moment that they notified us, we immediately terminated that service.
Yeah. So there, you're not aware of a period where... I'm sorry, I wasn't able. I was just looking for this letter. I just can't seem to find it in my email testimony. I know I read it yesterday or the day before.
July 4th. July 4th of July.
Yeah, that refers to people getting served because the restaurant was too busy or.
So if I can. This is not a hearing about violations right now, but I want to, of course, be responsive to your question. My understanding of what Mr. Frankel wrote, and in fact what he wrote, is a partial response that Resort Trust Hawaii had provided in one of the documents that got submitted in litigation. And so he has a direct quotation from something that we did, in fact, prepare that does say that there was a brief period in early January where there was some service onto the property. It was not ever to do with overflow seating at the Seaside Girl restaurant that has been cleared for over a year and remains cleared. But as Mr. Glennon mentioned, if that was happening, it would have been for the kinds of people who were legacy guests who had booked for decades and came with a certain expectation. And I imagine, again, this was a document that got submitted, so we wanted to err on the side of caution rather than being cavalier. If service was provided, it would have been provided by a server who was trying to accommodate, particularly these legacy guests who come year after year. So does that answer your question? I'm not backing away from that. At no other time, the sentence does continue, although it's not in his... what he has in his footnote, at no other time in 2019 has food or drink been served on the state parcel.
So is a scenario something like this, that a guest was on the RP property, flagged down a server, said, bring me something, and they brought it to them? Is that the scenario?
And that's my expectation.
I can't really speak to how that happened. If it happened, I can tell you that to a person, our policy is quite clear. We don't provide that service on the beach. As I say, on occasion, if there was a misstep, you know, we take responsibility for that, of course, but our policies are, it's not allowed under our RP, it's not allowed to put alcohol on state land, and well, I can't say, you know, that it happened or it didn't, but our policy and the way that we coach our employees is it's not allowed. You'll jeopardize our situation by doing so.
Okay. Well, that's all I have for now.
The time frame was in Mr. Frankel's testimony, and again, much of what he wrote in that footnote is a direct quotation from materials that we did submit in court, refers to from January 1st to January 9th. So the slippage period, to the extent there was slippage, was brief shortly after the...
And those dates are over what we refer to as the festive period, which is a maximum situation for us. Yeah.
And we're continuing to strive to do better and better all the time.
Okay, other questions? Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you
for the public testimony. Next up is Mr. Ralston.
Thank you for allowing us to speak. My name is Tyler Ralston, and I want to just first say that the testimony I submitted had inadvertently clicked send to Darlene Ferreira of a version that didn't quite have all the spelling checked and everything, so there's a few odd words in there. I just want to apologize for that and briefly. I'm not going to read through my testimony. I know we had a really long meeting here last year, and things were laid out in a certain way with what they could do and couldn't do on the property, and they pretty much immediately went ahead and started doing their own thing again. Over time, they have reduced the use, which is progress in the right direction, but there's pretty much been violations every single day since this current RP started. And some of them are listed in my testimony. Things like, you know, reserved signs on the seats, that cabana hallway thing I wanted to kind of get out of the shade, and that when I went, there was two made-up chairs with reserved things that I couldn't even go in there, and presumably that was for their legacy special people or whatever. You know, and then just lots of other violations. Again, I'm not going to go into detail on them. So, I think given their request, even though they're heading in the right direction, and I'm appreciative of that, I think the fact that they continue to just violate in so many ways in so many days, it would be inappropriate to, again, validate or support or issue an RP with the terms that they're asking for. So I oppose the RP as they're asking for it. But in thinking about trying to, you know, work with them and have solutions, at the end of my testimony, I did briefly put in a couple points, 15 or so points, that could be worked into, I think, a workable solution where I would support an RP for them. I don't know if anybody's read that or anything, but I'd be happy to answer questions about all of that or any of that.
Thank you. Okay, questions? Anyone? Thank you.
Thank you.
Your testimony?
Good afternoon, David Frankel. There's no question things are significantly better on the beachfront parcel today than 18 months ago. The illegal restaurant is gone. The illegal weddings have stopped. The illegal cabanas are gone, as have the clamshell chairs. Things are much better. And those, last year you actually authorized some of those uses to continue. They haven't continued, so it is much better. I do want to acknowledge that. Nevertheless, there are two issues in particular that I want to focus on, but I want to give you some context first. Russell's presentation missed a very important fact that he probably doesn't know, but it's really important for context, and that is in 1960, Bishop Estate, Kahala Hilton Hotel, the Peach family, wanted the city to rezone the golf course to allow a resort. And there was a very explicit condition. The trustees, and it's the front page of the Honolulu Star Bulletin, said, as a part of this rezoning, we will build you a new beach. We'll dredge it and build it. So there was a quid pro quo, as the currency of the terminology is, there was a quid pro quo that they'd be rezoned on condition that this beach be built. So they didn't do it out of the goodness of their heart. We don't owe them anything for that. They got it good with the hotel. And there's all kinds of documents to support this. So you should have this context so that you know that you don't owe them anything for creating this beach. But as a result, after the rezoning, they came to the state and said, we want to build this beach, and an agreement was reached. It's in land court, and this time, for the first time, I think the board has a copy of it in the staff submittal. Actually, it's part of Jennifer's submittal, I believe. And that provides that all the parties, including the board, agree that this area shall be used as a public beach. And I'm not talking just about the area that's now sandy, but also the area that's grassy. That area, after when it was created in the early 60s, 64, 65, all through the 70s, that whole area was sandy. The grass came later. Bill found a document that suggested by 1985, I think, it was grassed over. But when I was a kid, that whole area was sandy. Grass came later. And we have a legal document saying it shall be used as a public beach. You guys, your predecessors signed that agreement. So that's how this land should be used. Even though it's grassy now, that area is supposed to be used as a public beach.
I'm sorry, but I recall a discussion last year about where the certified shoreline goes mm-hmm. to and
right.
how it's wash of the waves and stuff, and that's what we considered the beach.
But that's incorrect. And I recall you doing that. Teresa Dawson dug up this document, which I hadn't seen at all, and mentioned Environment Hawaii, and then I dug deeper. What your frame of reference was last year was inaccurate. So here's, think about it. I guess your poster's gone. You've got the ocean, you've got the sandy area, which all of us acknowledge through Chief Justice Richardson, et cetera, is public. And then there's the grassy area. But that grassy area is still legally public beach. In fact, if you look at their draft environmental assessment they prepared when they were gonna do a bunch of expansions, I think it was prepared about 3-4 years ago, they refer to the grassy area as beach reserve. The hotel acknowledges it, the state acknowledges this area is to be used as public beach. So even though you may not think about it that way because there's grass there, that's legally what it is.
No, it's not that there's grass there, it's that it's not in the typical beach area is what I'm talking about.
And I'm saying, but it is public, you have a legal document.
We have a difference of opinion.
No, Suzanne. This lot that we're talking about, there's a land court document that says it shall be used as public beach. That's unquestioned. It's dedicated as a public beach. That whole area, lot 41 is. And you have to talk. You should talk to your AG about it before you shake your head about that. That's what this area is. There's no question. The hotel doesn't even dispute it. Okay? The second point you should keep in mind is that from 1986 to 1993, the revocable permits that you granted to the hotel's predecessor, I don't know if the owners change, required them to allow public access to the land, prohibited commercial use, and didn't allow them to exclude the public. And you know, it's the area could be used for maintenance and recreational purposes. But for them to argue, you didn't hear it today, but they have in the past, oh, we need to allow some kind of commercial use of this land because we're paying all this money to maintain it. You know, from 86 to 93, they did maintenance. They didn't make any money off the land. They don't need to make money off the land in order to do the maintenance. It's in their economic interest to do the maintenance because the guests like things looking good. The third thing I want you to think about is, for those of you who are familiar with the Kaimana Hotel, where the Natatorium is, it's another hotel on the beach, has a fabulous view from the restaurant. The hotel doesn't provide beach chairs to anybody. A hotel doesn't have to provide beach chairs to survive. You can go to the beach and lie on a towel, or bring your own chair, or whatever, but the Kala Hotel doesn't have to have preset chairs on the beach. Just doesn't, they don't have to. The fourth thing I want you to understand is location. It's really deceptive to talk about the percentage of the area they cover. So let me give you a concrete description for those of you who are familiar with the area. On the Diamond Head side of the parcel, there's a fancy restaurant. In front of that restaurant's a grassy area, and then there's a hedge. It is very difficult if you are hanging out in that grassy area to get to the water. Because of this hedge. When I was little, there was no hedge there. So when they talk about how empty the area, the RP area is, that's because nobody would sit in this area. And they'd be furious if we did. If we sat in front of their restaurant there, all the guests would have a lovely view of us. Nobody wants to sit there, and they don't put their chairs there. So to claim that, wow, we only use 1% or 2% or 3% of the land is ridiculous. What they do is they put their chairs in the best areas. So, you know, their clientele are the 1%, and they like the 1% best area. And that's, it's supposed to be used as a public beach. It's not an area dedicated for the 1%. It's dedicated for all of us. I want to address Chris's issue. I think both of you kind of got the facts a little bit wrong. So I sent a request for admissions regarding the amount of revenue-generating activity that had taken place during different periods of time. And the one that I reproduced for you in the footnote was between January 1st and January 9th, they admitted that they were engaged in revenue-generating activity on the parcel, which included the rental of clamshell chairs and service. It had nothing to do with the restaurant. I went to the beach there. I don't know what day it was. It was very early January. And I was, so just to give you chronology, there's intent use. We complain. The city sends them a NOV, or not an NOV, sorry, a warning they're going to give them an NOV. The hotel pulls out, pulls the restaurant out, pulls their cabanas out, pulls the clamshell chairs out. We have a hearing before you. The area is pretty deserted. It was great. The area looked great. You guys grant the permit. I go back in early January, and it's like a zoo again. It's the restaurant's not back, but there's clamshell chairs, and it's just a zoo. I email the BLNR. Bill Weinhoff files his answer, saying he doesn't have knowledge about something or denying something. And I emailed Bill, saying, "Bill, what are you doing? How can you not admit this? I was just there this weekend. Come out with me, and I'll show you what's going on." I assume, I don't know this for a fact, but I believe Bill followed up with Land Division. They went out within the next day or two, and boom. By January 9th, that stuff was gone, which is why they have the January 1 to January 9th date that they were engaged in this activity. You guys cracked down, which is, I believe, what happened. I don't know for a fact. So at this point, I believe there are really only two things that I have a significant disagreement with the hotel about. And the department. One is, you know, while folks are being arrested for occupying Mauna Kea, here's a hotel generating commercial revenue off of public lands for years illegally, and there's been no effort to recover that money or punish them in any way. I think that's wrong. I think it's a double standard when a multinational corporation is allowed to operate illegally generating revenue off of public land, and we're going to arrest Hawaiians for protesting for a less period of time. I just think that's wrong. The second issue is the pre-setting of chairs. I don't have a big problem if, you know, by the time the guests wake up and they have their nice breakfast and then they wander over to the beach and a person brings a chair out for them and puts it out. But to lay 70 chairs out there on an area which the Board of Land and Natural Resources signed a document in 1963, shall be used as a public beach. When they do that, they're excluding the public from those areas. And that's just wrong. And you can give them a permit that doesn't allow for pre-setting. And boy, you'd make Bill's life a lot easier. A lot of things would go away. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just have one question. The clamshells, were they part of the SMA issue?
They were. More difficult SMA issue. The cabanas were clearly a SMA issue. The clamshell chairs were arguable on both sides.
So I'm just trying to separate out what was the violation in January because the board had allowed the clamshells.
If they got the approval from the city and they were still, they had not asked permission from the city yet. The city had already written a letter saying the clamshells and the service of the food and the cabanas need an SMA. Okay. I'm paraphrasing.
So the service they weren't supposed to do. The clamshells were approved by the board subject to
the city.
Clearance from the city. Okay.
Just
trying to understand the situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Other testimony?
May I add something, or is that not? Unless there's anybody else.
Are you looking like you're about to stand up?
My name is Carl Smigalski. I live next door, Kahala Beach Apartments. I've lived there for almost 20 years. I've never seen the hotel look better. I'm a big supporter, obviously, of the hotel because I live next door. And what I just witnessed was a history lesson blaming a lot of people that did things before that nobody had a problem with up until now. I've never seen the hotel look the way it did before because they had done everything you could possibly imagine illegally. And then now, all of a sudden, because of a couple of people, everybody's up in arms when all they're trying to do is to bend over backwards to help do what everybody's been asking them to do. I mean, if one person did something wrong, they can't see every single employee. And by what they're asking the hotel to do, sounds like they'd like to get rid of the hotel. I don't understand why. I'm sure you guys have figured out it's a hotel. They have to make money, otherwise it wouldn't be a hotel. I just get really upset when I see people start talking about stuff that happened prior, because I've seen all the owners, when it was the Hilton, the Mandarin, and now it's Resort Trust. So I don't know what else to tell you guys. When I live there, I go there almost every other day. Obviously, they either sit there on the beach. There's nobody doing anything on the grass. There's hardly anybody on the beach because of the fact that you can't even get a chair for the most part. So all I can say is I support the hotel, what they're doing, and they're doing everything that you guys have asked them to do, and will pay for it if they haven't already. Thank you.
Any other testimony?
So now I'll make my request for a contested case hearing, which I realize you're going to deny anyway, but I want to preserve my right, so I'm making that request.
Can you briefly state what your grounds for a contested case are?
I think I did so last year, and they are no different. I have used this area since I was very little. About a year and a half ago, the hotel attempted to stop me from crossing the parcel. I've submitted a declaration, maybe even two declarations in court, which your attorney has reviewed. I can't go into any more detail than what I've already laid out pretty specifically.
Thank you. Okay, board members, counsel.
I'm happy to tell you what I would tell you in executive session if you want, which is I don't believe that Mr. Frankel has a protectable property interest which entitles him to contest the case. He did not get him to contest the case last year, which I think was correct, and I think it would also be correct again this year to deny his request for a contested case.
Okay, thank you. Anybody want to make a motion?
Well, we got our opinion. So I will make a motion to deny the request for a contested case hearing.
Okay, is there a second on that?
Second.
Discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. So just to be clear, any more public testimony? Did you want to add something?
Again, Tyler Ralston. I just wanted to say that, you know, from what I read, it sounds like the hotel is requesting an RP to have all these chairs out again, but this time I think they're asking for exclusive use of those chairs for their guests, which means that when they're all set out, the square footage might be just the chair, but there's double or triple that amount of space around each chair, and it really takes up the best spaces. So if I wanted to go down there with my family or friends, those spaces are then not available to us. And that wasn't the case with, I think, what you approved last year was where people could sit on their chairs if they wanted. And then the second thing I wanted to just say is that I didn't mention it previously, but the surf school is really, there's no place for it there. I wasn't able to see the photo because it's facing this way, but pretty much every time I went down there, most days of the RP period when I witnessed, and they were doing illegal activity because it's a designated swimming area, and where they can enter, there's really not reasonable access to get in there into the water. And so while they're a separate vendor, the hotel, you know, markets them, hires them to do this, that sort of thing. It's really problematic. So I think just removing the surf school from the area would take a lot of pressure off of the hotel with this, and then probably making chairs, as David Frankel said, have them just set out when guests are there and not reserved just for guests would probably work well, at least from my stance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public testimony? Yeah.
Just so that I don't know if it's real clear to when people throw out these terms, so I just like to remind the board the situation here we have a piece of encumbered property. You know, people have thrown out the terms of illegal commercial activity, illegal on the beach. That's only illegal on state land on unencumbered property. This area is covered encumbered. It's no different than a Nanaloa lease or a Hilo Hawaiian lease. And so if to the implication that alcohol is not allowed on the permit area, that's not correct. It's encumbered only on the unencumbered area that we don't have any permit on. You understand? Think about Nanaloa. They have a restaurant, they have beer. That's encumbered. Just that it's encumbered with a longer term lease, not a 30-year permit. That's all I want to say.
Let me just ask this question. If they were...
So basically what's allowed is what you folks allow under the permit.
This situation we're talking about from beginning of January 2019.
Arguably, it's a permit violation, not an illegal. They use the term illegal.
They exceeded this by serving customers on the clamshells in the RP. They exceeded the permitted scope of the RP.
I.e. a permit violation. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And should there be some penalty for that?
It'll be a penalty when you decide. If there is a penalty, we didn't bring it up. We don't have evidence of it except for what you see in your moving papers. And if you find that's enough.
Yeah, I'm inclined to think that there should be
some. Because we were looking at it from, I think, Barry. That was the reason he was out there for 3 weeks. And had his staff, actually two people staff that thing, the 3 week period, was to see over this 3 week period, what do we really see and to what extent? And that's what they try to capture. So if you imagine yourself being out there, was it 8 hours a day? How many hours a day?
To stop?
Yes.
Work hours, 8 hours a day, but they were not on the premises 8 hours. Not
on average, about
3 hours. After an hour on the beach. 3 weeks consecutive.
Every day.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, you know, staff made a major effort. And I think that some of the things that the photographs that were taken that were claimed to be a violation, I think our action in 2018 did allow the pre-setting of the lounge chairs.
Yes.
Because we had this whole discussion, we had a map of where they wanted to put them in, and we had this discussion of they were going to leave these two 20-foot wide corridors.
Right.
And how are you going to leave two 20-foot wide corridors if you only bring them out one by one? That was the background of that part, okay. But they weren't supposed to serve. They weren't supposed to serve clients out in the RP, you know, for drinks or whatever. That was out. So, and they've basically admitted that they did that. And you know, I don't know what at this point, you know, something like I would say, just off the top of my head, we would establish a square footage of area, you know, like how many square feet are we talking about? And we have a right of entry of 10 cents a square foot a day times that area times 9 days times two because it's a violation. And we don't have a, you know, we can put that on as a condition of renewing the RP, I think. And you could work. You could discuss it with the resort as to what is the square footage of area involved in this unauthorized service. And but I think that we should. You know, we have this violation that's in front of us, and we ought to do something about it. The stuff that went on before, my recollection is that the department felt that there was so much ambiguity in the RPs as previously existed that the activities that were complained of could not really be established as a violation. And that's, you know, I think that's the short answer to those. And I'm not in, and so I'm not for going back on anything. But that's my thought right now.
But, you know, if I remember right, the question was serving liquor on the beach. The unencumbered land.
Yeah, well, it's clearly not
for me. What I will do is, I want to go back to look at what was approved, because there's a difference between. I know they were grumbling about they were serving liquor on the beach area, the sand area. Right. So I thought that was the situation.
So that was clearly the decision of the board to make that taboo, any kind of serving of food.
I will try to clarify by looking at what was approved.
What we try to do, and at least I try to do, you know, trying to run this division, we get these complaints about stuff all the time. Yesterday, in fact, Dukanamoku Beach, where we have an exclusive concession earning about $500,000 a year with the Hilton. We have someone conducting commercial activity illegally and unauthorized. Rather than waiting to cite them and bring them before the board, I just asked my staff to go out there and just tell this guy he's unauthorized and get out of here. And try to educate these people before, and if they refuse, to come back and hit them with a fine and stuff. And so I also try to play that as well, because I believe our job, especially on unencumbered land, on all these, what is legal, what is not legal, most people don't know it. And so they need to at least be told it's not authorized and give them a chance to get off. I think in this Kala case, yes, the hotel management obviously knew, but I'm not so I can sort of sympathize with having demanding guests that might want to tell a server what to do. But it's not that it's an excuse, but I'm just saying. But I think it's your guys' prerogative if you want to issue a fine or put parameters on what you do and how much they should charge them as a penalty.
So a letter of default was sent to them.
For that?
No.
No. Yeah, it was based on these photographs that were sent by from the public and not actually witnessed by any state employee. You know, similar to like sometimes I think Mr. Rawson had asked it, and I was thinking about it in his testimony about allowing citizens to make a potential violation and issue a fine. And I thought, if that was the case, why doesn't HPD allow us to do that for people that run through red lights and never get into accidents? They want to witness it themselves, right? They got to. The police needs to actually be there. The guys, the enforcers. Yeah. And so, like yesterday, when we went out with our staff to Dukanamoku Beach, we did bring out a dog care officer. Unfortunately, by the time we got there, he had already scooted off, because I think earlier in the morning, HPD was on this individual because of complaints from the hotel.
Okay, other questions? Okay, thank you. Okay, somebody want to make a motion?
I'd like to give applicant a chance to respond to the concept of a penalty attached to the condition of what amounts to 20 cents a square foot per day of the area occupied by clamshells in which liquor was, to which liquor was served, if there's any way of establishing that, and if they have any comment on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're a little bit having Jedi mind meld here. Mr. Glennon just said in my ear, I think it would be difficult to determine with any exactness
the scope.
What did take place, and the reason for that being, and again, Mr. Franco correctly said that this was something that we had written, Resort Trust Hawaii had provided in its requests. He had submitted something called Request for Admissions, Resort Trust Hawaii submitted a response, and we did affirmatively state that between January 1st through the through January 9th, in some instances during this busy holiday season, there was some service. I don't, as I sit here right now, know exactly what happened, and was it each and every day, or was it a couple of days, or was it on three chairs within, you know, a 300 square foot area, or was it on 10 chairs? It's just
how many clamshells did you have out there?
About 30.
About 30.
No, 30 clamshells?
I think so.
Yeah, generally.
Hmm? We had 23, and they were removed. Joey
Barra,
general
manager of the
college. Yeah.
Well, I have an idea of what I'm going to suggest.
I appreciate your point, I guess, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and try to give a response, and I know my response is not that satisfactory because you're trying to come up with something concrete, and the fact is we don't have the evidence right now to provide something concrete.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that that couldn't be looked into and that we couldn't possibly work with the board's attorney. If the hotel has tried to demonstrate that we're trying to do the right thing. I mean, year after year, they've scaled things down, and if there was slippage, and obviously we wrote it, so we know there was some slippage. I cannot tell you with any exactness, so therefore it's difficult for me to say.
In principle, it's not something that we would object to, but we would need to determine a formula of some kind.
Well, I think Mr. Ewing provided a formula. The thing is, we just don't know to what extent we may have, we just know we were a little bit unclean for those few days, but I don't know if it was one day or 6 days or 4 days.
Mr. Ewan has an idea, so.
And I will reiterate that our policy is quite clear that we do not serve alcohol, non-alcoholic beverages or food on our beach, certainly, and not on the state parcel. If it happens through human error or a training situation, I just want the board to understand that our policy firmly is that's taboo. It's off limits.
And if I could be indulged for just please, 35 seconds longer, because Mr. Ralston came up and he raised concerns about the Hans Hiedemann use of the property. Again, on the exhibit I just showed you, which is my exhibit 13, except my exhibit 13 doesn't have the pink dash lines that you saw in the blow up today. Again, the pink dash lines are based on what's in the Hawaii administrative rules saying this is the boat access channel. In other words, where those kind of uses are allowed. Hans Hiedemann is a vendor to us. We don't have their permit. They do have a valid commercial use permit from DOBAR. And the under Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-256-89D regarding the Wailai Kahala Beach Boat Channel, which is that area with the pink dashed line heading west, the restrictions provide, and I'll say this and then I'll get out of your hair, Wailai Kahala Beach Boat Channel is designated for use by commercial vessels operating under contract with the Kahala Hilton Hotel and holding a valid commercial use permit from the department. Operation of any other vessel is prohibited within this area. So I think, I mean, legally, Hans Hiedemann has that permit. They're doing what they're supposed to do in the right area. Again, was there human error? Sometimes did that orange cone drift where it shouldn't have? Probably. That's why we've got this on the map, and that those sort of errors should never happen again. But they are operating correctly. So although we're not here to speak on behalf of Hans Hiedemann, it would seem to fly in the face of the administrative rules to say that there shouldn't be that kind of use taking place on that property. That's all.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
What was your
Okay. Boating?
Boating gave you guys a commercial permit to?
Not us. to Hans Tiedemann.
The surf school.
To the surf school.
And that covers, I believe,
but that, you know, if I'm not mistaken, the permit is for, you're allowed to do run a surf school on our only on their land, right? Not on our unencumbered land.
Ocean waters. It's in the water. Because
I remember, you know, Kalapaki, I used to cite surf schools on the sand. If they're giving lessons on the sand, because that's unencumbered safe land.
Right.
But if they're holding on private property, they can give lessons on private property, traverse the sand, and go into the water.
Exactly.
That's correct.
But if you're holding it on the sandy beach,
right,
that's a violation.
Mm-hmm. If I may explain, I think, if I understand correctly, what happened here in Kahala, that man-made lagoon area, is there's a restriction on that in their administrative rules on some commercial activity in the beach, in the ocean. And so they opened up an alleyway where it's okay to traverse and go into the
ocean. That's what I mean.
Then, yeah. But as far as the rest of the rules, the beach is unencumbered,
yes.
So therefore our unencumbered rules.
Yeah. So holding lessons on the beach is a violation.
Yes.
Because that's unencumbered, correct?
Yes.
And we have met recently with Mr. Hiedemann and his team, and we have communicated that directly to them. So.
And in the RP that you folks approved last year, you made it clear that there shouldn't be lessons on the state parcel. The property that we're requesting the RP over. So the lessons happen on the hotel's property.
Okay.
Okay, and then
they traverse to the water.
And then they traverse.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. Because their permit is not necessary for the surf school to operate on the unencumbered state land. Unencumbered is on the mm-hmm. land division.
Right.
The only place you guys get that is Honolulu. Correct. Mm-hmm.
One last question.
Yes.
When this January 1 to 9 period, had you yet received authorization from the city and county to place the clamshells on the RP property?
We had not sought permission from the city and county at that point.
Okay.
We had received a letter from the city and county in late December saying that they'd been to the property and there were no violations. But we had not sought any permission. And through kind of a painstaking process, because we urged you folks to give us permission to have clamshells and cabana tents last year, and you did, you know, with that caveat. And ultimately, it looked like it was going to be too much of an uphill battle with DPP as to the cabana tent. So no, we had not sought permission.
But okay. Since we have been engaged with DPP.
Oh yeah, we've been engaged with DPP.
Conversations and meetings.
Yeah. Quite aware of what's happening.
So I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Make a motion to approve as submitted with one additional condition that the applicant pay an additional amount equal to the footprint, the square footage of 30 clamshells times 9 days times the right of entry fee of 10 cents per square foot per day times 2.
Can you translate that into a dollar?
if you tell me how much the square footage of your clamshells, I can tell you the dollar amount.
Yeah, just to clarify, this is for the past violation, the one.
This is January 1 to January 9.
January 9.
Yeah, 9 days.
And this is only an RP.
I'd like to know what that translates to.
We think 30 square feet. Is that right? 30 square feet?
30 square feet would be my guess of a clamshell.
For one.
For one clamshell. Like, is it about 8 by 3 and a half? 5 by 6?
Mm-hmm. 390 square feet is what was in the
right.
Jennifer's letter. From
390, and in your RP, we were approved to have 390 square feet of clamshell.
That's 30 clamshells?
No, 13.
It was 13, which provided 26 seats, so I think when you said 30, you must have been mistaken.
But
Was it 13 clamshells? Or was it 30 clamshells?
No, it's less than that.
One.
It was less than 13 clamshells.
During this period. I mean, again...
Okay. What,
we just
if a clamshell is 30 square feet, this works out to $6 a clamshell a day. And then you can work it out with staff as to how many clamshells were involved.
No, I think we need to be specific here.
Okay. I'm going by what this gentleman is telling me. I think he said 30. Did you say 13?
Well, that was in my mind. I deferred to Joe, who was operational at that time. He said it was 20.
There were 13 clamshells on that. We were approved 13 clamshells.
And 10 cabana tents.
No cabana tents were on there. So 13 plus 10 is 23. Cabana 13. Tents were out of the picture. I do believe that from the 1st through the 9th, there was not 13 clamshells on there. I believe it was less.
Well, you know, let's keep it simple. It would be 13 times 6 times 9.
What is 6? What is 13 six, clamshells times what?
6 square feet.
Well, 30 square feet times 20 cents.
Sorry, I'm that's calculating six. Here.
Yeah, okay.
Slow. Okay, what's your first number?
13.
Okay.
Times 6.
Times 6 meaning what?
30 square feet at 20 cents a square foot a day.
$6.
$6 a day.
$6 a day.
Times 9.
Times 9.
$702.
Yes.
And then you're proposing to double that? Is that?
No, that's already doubled. That's double the right of entry rate.
Okay. So he's suggesting a penalty of $702.
How much is that?
$702. For the use of the clamshell area prior to obtaining authorization from the city and county.
Well, so I mean, another way to put this, if I might, Chair, is you rather than the RP charge of whatever is charged, it's RP $702 was submitted in the submittal.
One-time payment.
Yes.
And is this being characterized as a violation payment? Because, again, the lawyer in me says I need to object. We don't have evidence to indicate this.
I'm very concerned about calling.
We are very amenable to talking and coming up with some kind of settlement. I think what Mr. Ewing's presented is creative. I'm concerned about that somehow we're making an admission for something that far exceeds what the facts support. There are no facts to support it right now.
You do not have to admit anything. This is... And the board, you know, the board could sit here and increase the rent of $500 a month or $1,000 a month or anything too. That's the basis for my calculation of a one-time payment.
I suggest we just characterize it as rent additional.
How about $702 additional rent for the first payment, first monthly payment, not characterized as a fine.
Would you like to
step out of the room?
I'm concerned that we're dealing with a prospective permit, and we're also talking about something in the past when I was not on the board. I'm wondering whether the simpler solution is, if it comes up to $700, that the RP be granted on a rental of $2,060 for the first month, and 1360 thereafter, so that we don't get confused with anything back. The first month will just be 2,660, if that's an approximate amount, and then subsequently revert back to the 13.
To the staff.
Would you like to take a short recess?
If you don't mind.
Don't mind.
We'll be very quick.
Okay, we're gonna take a bathroom break. Thank you.
$2.25 break.
25.
He's got his big acquisition.
It's crazy, right?